Blog Talk Radio.
Jaws made you afraid to go in the water. Jaws 2 made you afraid to go back in the water. Jaws 3D was a new dimension in terror. In Jaws 4, The Revenge, it was personal. Then it was just business. Then pure pleasure. Cyber Jaws made you afraid to log on. And Robo Jaws made you afraid of robotic sharks. Then Chief Brody's grandson assembled a super team of shark hunters. Jaws 10, it was man versus shark versus all the terrors of the deep. Outer space. Then a prequel and a sequel to the prequel. And then a new era in terror began. Jaws started a family. Battled a Russian shark named Ivan Sharkovsky. Took a bite out of the Big Apple and learned about love from a mysterious stranger. Jaws 18 Origins, the mind-blowing reboot. Now, the oceans are disappearing, and to save their home, the sharks must attack. Jaws 19. This time, it's really, really personal.
If you have toilet paper, then you have tuned to the right show. Hey now, what is up? A tremendous Thursday evening to you, and welcome to another edition of Darbin Horror Radio. My name is Eric Polk, and we are back and better than ever. It is, I look back at 40 years of perhaps the biggest cult movie phenomenon. I'm talking, of course, about the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And if you guys want to get on the conversation tonight, the number to call is 1-877-552-4073. And for our international listeners, the number to call is 323-843-6113. We are knee-deep in the hoopla that is week one of the madness. And if you are a contestant participating on the wonderful Facebook contest, then you'll be getting 1 point. If you happen to be calling in this evening, you will get 5 points. And when you do call in, please have a take on what we're going to be talking about tonight. Don't just call in and say, hey, here's my 5 points and bust out. No, please talk about your experience with the Rocky Horror Picture Show and plus, or anything else we'll be talking about this evening, because we've got a lot to go over. But as you know, I cannot handle the burden of a weekly one-hour internet-based radio show all by myself. On the other end of the tin can string, funded by Evil Corporation. Yes. She is the Lord and Mistress of DarbinHorror.blogspot.com. And she really rocked it as Amanda with a steel trap over her mouth on this edition of Sin the Wasteland. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome back to the show, Miss Ronnie Reaper.
What's up, everybody?
Hey now, what's happening?
Nothing. My nose is stuffy.
Oh, yes.
I cannot smell.
Here we are. yes, we're coming off a wonderful Cinema Wasteland this past weekend, and we're knee-deep in week one of the madness, and so much insanity is going on here. We might not have time to get to it all tonight, but we're just going to just go forward. All right, so Rhonda, you've been chomping. I'm sure you've been chomping at the bit for almost 24 hours now. Okay, lead us off. What happened on Supernatural season premiere?
Okay, let me just give everyone a warning. If you haven't seen it yet, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, that's enough time. Spoiler alert! Okay, so at the end of the last season, at the season finale, you see this. The darkness was released because they got rid of the Mark of Cain using the spell. So you just see this big cloud of darkness envelop everything, you know, the darkness. Well, in the beginning of this episode, we see the darkness embodied as a woman actually speaking to Dean. And I guess what happens is when the darkness touches you, when this cloud touches you or whatever, or somehow when the darkness gets inside of you, your veins, like you get this weird black vein on your neck and you turn rabid almost. And it has a shelf life, though. The people who are infected die within, like, I don't know, a few hours, apparently. Which is weird, because in the season finale last year, didn't they kill Death? Just saying. Dean and Sam run into this woman, a police officer who actually had to kill some people that she knew because they were infected. But they run into this guy and this little itty-bitty cute baby, little girl baby. So they tell the guy, because the father was infected, they tell the guy makes a deal with them saying, save my baby and I'll leave so that I can't hurt anyone. Turns out at the end of the episode, you see the little birthmark, the mark of Cain, on the baby. That fucking baby is the darkness. Dean just saved the darkness, man.
Uh-oh.
Well, see, if you... Dean didn't tell his brother what the darkness said to him when he met her as, you know, the adult woman form. Apparently, when he got rid of the Mark of Cain, the darkness was released, but that also linked him with the darkness since he was the one who had the Mark of Cain in the first place. So apparently, the darkness said, you'll never hurt me because we're linked. I don't know what the hell that means. Oh, but Sam is also infected with the darkness at the end of the episode, so, this is going to be fun. How are they going to cure Sam? I mean, doesn't the darkness have a shelf life of like 3-4 hours before you die?
I don't know. We'll find out next week.
How are they going to find the cure for darkness in one episode? I mean, come on. You've got a whole season to get through people.
Oh, my goodness.
But
it was
an amazing opener. And, there was something else that happened at the end of last year as well. Rowena fucking got away with the damn book and the codex. She got away. She wasn't in this episode. You just knew she got away. But she cast that spell on Cassiel that made him crazy and want to kill everything, and now two angels got Cassiel bound up, and I guess they're going to beat the shit out of him. I don't know. And Crowley didn't die. He escaped, and he entered the body of a woman who was about to have an orgy.
What?
Yes, Crowley entered the body of a woman. He didn't know she was going to have an orgy, and no one else did when you first saw this business-type woman unloading things from her trunk. She looked like a soccer mom who worked at a big office building. Crowley goes in the house to kill everyone to summon his minions to tell them, hey, I'm still alive. We need to go back to hell and work some shit out. So he goes in the house with a tire iron. And I guess the woman's husband's like, hey, I know it's your birthday, and I know you said you wanted this, so I got the neighbors, and we'll do it. And Crowley, in the woman's body, is just like, he puts the tire iron down and says, okay. So I guess he didn't kill them until after the orgy.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Hell, he's in a woman's body for the first time. Let's have a little fun with it.
Well, what kind of show is Supernatural? I thought it was like this nice little...
It's beautiful is what it is. And I love the quote. The demon is the little demon minion of Crowley's looks at him and says, okay, like there's like a crazy angel and shit's going down and you wait until after the orgy to summon us? And Crowley just looks at them sarcastically, I apologize for nothing.
Oh, my goodness.
I fell off the couch. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, my God. What happened to, wholesome family horror entertainment, like on American Horror Story?
There was no titties. You didn't see anything.
I'm just kidding.
My family would watch it.
I should really watch this just to see what all this is about. But was it like now on season 10, 11, 12?
11.
Season 11, yeah. Yeah, I think I'm kind of a lost cause at this point.
No, you're not. Believe me, you can get through like 5 seasons in a week if you're really dedicated.
That's the thing, though. I'm not even through the very first Doctor.
All you have to do really is watch the last 2 seasons at least. You should be pretty caught up.
Oh, okay. I'll definitely keep that in mind.
Well, at least the storyline now.
Thank you, honey. No, my wife just replied, the Doctor doesn't have Jensen Ackles, and I'm like,
saying, you're a lost cause for Supernatural, but you can watch like 10 years worth of Doctor Who. Shut up, Eric.
Mm-hmm. Well, I could, but
you're not a lost cause. No one is a lost cause. Everyone should be watching Supernatural.
Well,
it should be
mandatory.
You have to pay your taxes and watch Supernatural.
Well, there's ways of getting around that. I'm kidding. All right, if you guys want to get in on the conversation tonight, it's 1-877-552-4073. Do you have a take on last night's Supernatural episode? Do you have anything you want to discuss regarding the Rocky Horror Picture Show? What are some of your wonderful experiences with this big cult movie phenomena? We've definitely got... We're going to be talking about that later on in the evening. But right now, I want to talk a little bit about the movie that's been generating a lot of buzz within the horror community. I'm talking about The Green Inferno, Eli Roth's quote-unquote tribute to the cannibal movies of the 70s and 80s. I say quote because unlike movies like Cannibal Holocaust and Zombie Holocaust and other movies of that ilk, this movie flinches. I mean, there's some interesting gore scenes. There's this one scene where this poor guy gets chopped up and he's still alive, and his torso gets baked into an oven.
Yum.
Yeah. Gets baked into an oven, but there's times when, especially towards the end, when this movie flinches. Now, in the beginning of this movie, the main character, she's a college student, first year college student, and she's attending, female studies class to learn about, female genital mutilation in, other parts of the country. Well, basically, what happens is this girl gets hooked up with these social activists, and they go to South America to stop a bunch of rainforest logging. Well, they succeed in that, and when they get back on the plane, about an hour into their flight back home, their airplane crashes in the middle of Chile, with this tribe that has never seen outsiders before. So, and they think that they're the enemy, and you can pretty much guess what happens after that, since it's the cannibal movie.
You in the wrong neighborhood, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's one part where if a ritual had been allowed to happen, the entire movie's complexion would have changed, and it would have been shocking. But I think it would be necessary, because if you're dealing with a socially conscious movie of The Green Inferno, you don't want to pull back, and that's where Eli Roth fails. He pulls back and turns it into like this. Beginning, especially to this typical Americanized ending. So, I mean, don't get me wrong; it wasn't totally bad, but it could have been so much better. He actually could have made a statement instead of putting together what I think is a run-of-the-mill cannibal movie. Trust me, Cannibal Holocaust is still the movie you want to watch if you want to watch a cannibal movie. This one probably just right in the middle, so to speak. So,
I still haven't got to see it. I was going to go on my day off, but then I got sick.
We both caught the post-cinema wasteland crud. the best guy, because I've been sick almost all week and been coughing my lungs out, essentially.
I had to puke at work, and now, like, three people at work are like, are you pregnant? Are you stupid?
Oh, my God. Crazy madness. All right, 1-877-552-4073 is the number to call if you guys want to get on the conversation tonight. Do you have a take on last night's Super Bowl natural episode? Do you want to discuss the Green Inferno or talk about your experience with the Rocky Horror Picture Show? It's all on the table this evening. And if you're a madness contestant, if you call in, that gives you 5 points. And if you do call in, please have a take on something. Don't call and say, hey, here's my 5 points and goodbye. No. Now, please call. Please spend a few moments with us, at least. We would appreciate that. All right, so moving on here, we went to Cinema Wasteland Saturday, and once again, another fine convention, even though we only went the one day.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice. It was nice meeting Mr. Ken Forey of the original Dawn of the Dead and Leatherface Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. That was fun. Very pleasant guy to speak with.
Oh, yeah. He was really funny. I picked out
mm-hmm.
the picture where they were standing in front of the sign that said, like, clean pussy, VD tested, 1,000 serve, come again. And he just looked at me and said, oh, the ladies love that picture.
Yeah, my conversation was a little less dirty. We were talking about, We were talking about when I moved back up near Pittsburgh, and one of the first things I did was go to the Monroeville Mall and just looking around and how everything changed between then and when the movie came out in 1978. We're talking about that for a little bit. So it was fun. It was really nice to talk to. He's like the second guy involved I got an autograph from. First, of course, being Tom Savini from this past April, and that was. And that was pretty awesome. I did see Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, which was an okay entry in the series. That was like the big highlight movie of the weekend. And here's a little tidbit of information. At the Cinema Wasteland in April, this coming April, we're going to have Dave Nutton's going to be there from American Werewolf in London.
Oh, there's the crud.
Yep, there's the Puss in the Wasteland crud, everybody. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's basically been
me. See, his
crud's
in his lungs
long.
And mine's in my nose. And if you eat Burger King, it might be somewhere else.
Oh, yes. That's another thing, speaking of which. Have you tried the Halloween Whopper lately?
Hell no.
Oh, I had one for lunch today.
I don't give a crap if I get a point for that. I ain't eating nothing that's fucking black already. No.
Yeah, well, you're not missing out on a damn thing because it sucks.
And plus, I don't even like A1. Why the fuck do I want A1 on my burger? I don't even want the shit on my steak.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like a big thing over in Asia, apparently, and they finally decided to bring it over here. And
I don't mind the black burger, okay? I do a little. I mean... I just can't get over A1 sauce on a fucking Whopper. Ugh.
Well, no, it's just
and
it's
apparently
just
A1 is also baked into the bun. Like, no.
What? Yeah, it's flavored into the bun. Essentially, it's like the thing to me. The burger tastes like you just basically marinated the Whopper in A1 sauce for like 12 hours.
Yeah.
You know, and plus it depends on how they put it together and whoever. Me and my burger today just did it melted, even as far as melted cheese. It was just like,
yeah. I totally saw that picture. I was like, damn, it looked like your burger had a tongue.
Yeah, $15 an hour in my ass. I'm kidding. All righty. 1-877-552-4073 is the number to call if you guys want to get in on the conversation tonight. We're talking all things Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's the 40th anniversary of the big cult movie phenomena. If you guys have a take on last night's Supernatural episode or the Green Inferno, hell, if you want to talk about the season finale of Fear of the Walking Dead, which was okay, but not wonderful. We've got a phone call right now on the other end of the line here. 407 area code. Welcome to Dollar Bend Horror Radio.
Hi, it's Dina Bina from the Madness.
Hey, Dina.
Well, hi, Dina. Welcome.
How are you? It's good to be here.
Good.
Trying to fight off this damn cough, but other than that.
Let me turn, maybe if I turn my computer all the way down. Very good. Well, I heard you talking earlier about Rocky Horror, and I just wanted to say that I am particularly lucky this Halloween that I get to spend it with two of the cast members at Spooky Empire.
Oh,
we have Barry Bostwick coming, and Nell.
Nice.
And we're doing a midnight showing, of course, Saturday night, Halloween night. It's going to be amazing.
And now, where's us? Now, just for those who don't know, where is a Spooky Empire located?
It's here in Orlando.
Oh, okay.
And we're in a brand new hotel, the Hyatt Regency on iDrive. It's humongous and beautiful.
Anyone has a car that wants to drive me to Florida?
You so need to have somebody drive you to Florida.
I want to meet
you. Yeah, especially when you have like two of the big cast members from Rocky Horror Picture Show there. Absolutely.
Exactly. And that's just a few of the guests. We have so many amazing guests this year.
Awesome.
We're really kicking it out for Halloween.
Nice.
All right. Yeah.
So I just wanted to say hello and share that with everybody.
Okay, great. And
you just made me really jealous. Just gonna say that out loud.
I will be there. I will be there representing you.
Yes.
So I will be there in your honor.
There you go. Well, Dina, thanks for giving us the heads up on that. We appreciate your phone call.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a good one. All right. That was Dina Bina. She is a contestant on this year's Madness Contest. And if you guys want to get in on the conversation, 1-877-552-4073. International listeners, 323-843-6113. That's just awesome hearing that you got Barry Bostwick coming to your big event like that because – you know, he was Brad Majors. I wonder what the over-under is on how many times he's been called asshole in 40 years. What do you think? Yeah, I can see this walking down the street. Asshole! Oh, my God. That poor man, he probably takes so much abuse from watching horror pictures so fast. Oh, my God. Okay, yeah, no, it's asshole. Hey, weren't you a Megaforce? If you've not seen Megaforce, my God.
Sin City? Asshole! I'm sorry.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll, but listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
It's just a jump to the left. With your hands on your hips.
All right. That has been echoing through theaters for the last 40 years at midnight on the weekend. If there is always someplace anywhere in the world that will be playing Rocky Horror Picture Show. It is a cult phenomenon that really first brought about the concept of audience participation, and in a lot of ways it was the spiritual cousin of Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Riff Track, Cinema Titanic, and everything that you see today with everybody riffing on everything. And
yep.
Really this was the progenitor of it all. You know, not bad for a movie that initially bombed at the box office. Yeah. Yeah, but when it came out in 1975, I mean, critics thought it was a piece of shit, and it was, and people avoided it like the plague. But then it got on the Midnight Madness circuit, and it's, you know, it has it's been a phenomenon all of its own. You know, I actually saw,
people
I saw
love
it
things
all
that they feel like they're a part of, and when you see Rocky, you feel like you are a part of it.
Mhm. When you see people dressing up like Dr. Frankenfurter or Riff Raff or Magenta, it just, it's like with anything, it really started the whole, you know, cult, movie cult thing, you know, because I can't think of any movie before then, you know, that really just said, okay, this is a crazy movie, we're attached to it, we're going to dress up and we're going to go out every Friday and Saturday, you know, we're going to dance the Time Warp, you know, we're going to cheer when Tim Curry comes on the screen and freak out, you know.
We're going to start toilet paper.
Oh, yeah, and toast. I watched, now last year was the first time I went to a screen, to an audience participation screening, and I'd seen it like a little, I've seen like bits and pieces of it on TV, you know, which you can't get the experience there. But just going, and I didn't participate, I just went and I observed everybody, you know, everybody dressed, everybody down the front dressing up, and did you, have you had a chance to participate in that, Rhonda?
No.
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 Oh, my goodness. But, yeah,
I mean, like,
me and my friends,
when we were younger, we did our own, like, at the house, but never at a theater.
Now, well, I know how it is with other people,
but they
but
still did the virgin thing to me, you know.
Yeah, they did, yeah, they did.
Lipstick on the forehead.
Yeah, they did that to the people
so
who.
So I figure, even if I did
it
at someone's house, I still had the lipstick done. So if I go in person, I don't have to get that done, right?
Yeah. Joe and I saw this at this little theater outside of Cleveland, out near Kent State, up in Kent, Ohio. Kent,
mm-hmm.
not Canton, but oh, excuse me. You know, so this lady would come around and say, is this the first time you've seen this movie? And I knew what was coming. I knew it was coming up. So I was like, no, we've seen this before. So, you have to take that oath and everything. And then the movie comes on and people are like, yeah, here come the whips and everything. But I'll tell you what, I don't think there, as I mentioned earlier with Barry Boswick, you know, being called asshole, I can't imagine Tim Curry walking anywhere in the, well,
Susan Sarandon. Just watch her walk down the street. Watch out for the horror-eating bush, Janet!
Yeah, she'd probably yell at you because, you know,
oh,
she's like ultra-feminist these days and stuff, so. You know, which is kind of funny because she did play a prostitute in Bull Durham, so.
Ain't nothing wrong with being a little hooker.
Yeah. No, I know, but. Anyway, 1-877-552-4073 is the number to call, and 343-843-6113. I know there was a big brouhaha up in New York City here last weekend for Rocky Horror Picture Show's 40th anniversary. So, and I was attended by Team Time Warp Judge Anthony Thurber. he's listening tonight. Please give us a call, Judge. We'd like to hear from you and your experience on that, but right now while I try to fight this cough, I'm going to play a little bit of Sweet Transvestite from Transsexual Transylvania.
How'd you do, I? See, you've met my faithful handyman. He's just a little brought down because when you knocked, he thought you were the candy man. Don't get strung out by the way I look, don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite, I'm transsexual Transylvania. Let me play with science. You look like you're both pretty groovy. Or if you want something visual, if not two of us more. We could take in an old Dee Reeves movie.
I'm glad we caught you at home. Could we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry.
Right.
We'll just stay where we are, then go back to the car. We don't want to be any worry.
Well, you got caught with a flat wheel. How about that? Well, babies, don't you panic. By the light of the night, it'll all seem all right. I'll get you a satanic mechanic. I'm just a freak transvestite. From transsexual Transylvania. Why don't you stay for the night? Or maybe a bite. I could show you my favorite obsession. I've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan, and he's good for relieving my tension. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Hey, I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. So, come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with anticipation.
What?
But maybe the rain is really to blame. So I'll remove the cause. But not the symptom.
Alrighty, well, I took some digs while it quiet my cough. That was Dr. Frankenfurter declaring being a sweet transvestite for transsexual Transylvania. All right, joining us on the other end of the tin cannon string, funded by.
Yes, this is real
United
music.
States.
Dark, fruity.
Yes, the Halloween Horror Movie Marathon Madness. That is going on right now. She's joining us to say hi for a couple of minutes. Miss Elizabeth Catherine Gray, welcome back to Dollar Bin Horror Radio.
Hey, Liz. Hey, how y'all doing?
Trying to get over this damn cough.
Well, I'm sorry about the cough, but I'm glad we're on the air.
Yeah, glad you're on. So, since we're talking about Rocky Horror Picture Show, what memories do you have of attending?
Well, you might want to sit down because this might take a while.
We got half an hour, so let's
bring
it on.
All right. So I was a wannabe actor in high school, did a lot of improvisational acting and would always get passed over for all the good roles by the popular kids. Pretty typical. So a lot of us misfits would go to the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which played at the UC Theater in Berkeley. And we were part of the shadow cast or band of Indecent Exposure, which was the longest running Rocky Horror Picture Show continuous cast in history. It actually is longer than New York. New York actually died for a while and then came back. So I definitely have connections to Rocky Horror Picture Show. In fact, it was my first date with my husband.
Nice.
We went
Very
to lingerie
nice.
Night together. We hung in, we were in a back of a truck, open bed, and he hit, he could light cigarettes with matches in the back of a pickup truck, and I thought that was, like, awesome. So, it was love at first sight.
Nice. Very nice. All right, so how's your madness going?
Well, it's going fine, except we're being traced by a rugrat right now. First of all, I want to thank everyone that's playing this year. This has been an extremely active year. And I've, like, you know, we have 42 people this year. We have 42 people this year, and we have so much going on. It's insane. And my daughter is here.
Okay, I thought that was Eric's wife meowing again.
No. No meow this time. Every time I turn around, the madness pages lighten up with things going on.
Yeah, I've really been awesome this year. The film's been great. Watching movies like The Cave. I saw some people watching The Descent. A couple of people watched Hellraiser. A early favorite of the madness was Late Phases, which is an excellent
movie. Oh, yeah, that was good. That was really good.
A lot of people like that one a lot. A couple of people watched
let's break it up.
We've got, great stuff. People are watching lots of good things, and you've been watching your Doctor Who cave stuff, and
phone's breaking up really bad.
So, I watched Supernatural for the very first time last night. So that was I knew about the show, and I won't say I haven't seen it before because I've turned on and I see a few minutes here and there. But, I never actually watched an episode from beginning to end. And so I watched it, I enjoyed it, and I thought it was funny because not only were they mentioning darkness, but they also did an entire speech about madness. Holy crap! it was you couldn't have been more appropriately themed for our – it's like I planned it that way, and I didn't. I swear I didn't do that. So, the madness always ends up being like that. We've had this blood moon, which was appropriate for our theme. I mean, it's been a lot of fun this year so far. The Black Whoppers. Come on, people. How weird is that? The dark fucking Whoppers. So I give it a point for Whoppers this year. I know a lot of people are taking advantage of the dark ride bonus. I know at least two of Madness contestants in Orlando going to Hollywood Horror Nights and going during the day and doing the Harry Potter stuff. So they're cleaning up on the dark ride bonus right now. We got one of the most really active group of maniacs I've had, and really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, and don't forget that during Cinema Wasteland, Rhonda got a video of the Son of Ghoul welcoming us all to the madness. So there's 13 points right there.
That's right. I was going to say, and you guys, even you guys completed your personal challenge for 15% of Ghoul. So congratulations on that. I had a couple people. We also had someone post Jay Rosa? From Repo Genetic Opera and a bunch of other stuff. He actually posted a video saying the madness. I almost got a candid photo of Ric Flair today, but it didn't work out.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, I saw that.
Almost got it. We almost got a picture of Ric Flair today. Nathan Hamilton got a candid with Greg Nicotero. Met him. So that was pretty awesome. So I gave him points for that photo because, when you just bump into someone cool, I usually will give the point for it because it's awesome, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
absolutely.
It's all about this whole thing's about experience and conversation. Mm-hmm. So I love Rocky Horror and I love horror in general, but Rocky Horror, Tim Curry is our main wild card this year because our mascot film is Legend, which he's also brilliant in. I thought it would be appropriate to call in and say, hey, and how much I loved Rocky Horror Picture Show. I also love the theatrical show. I got to see it a couple years ago with, what's his name from 90210? What's his name? Luke Perry. And Dick Cavett was in it also. And that was pretty fucking amazing. Absolutely incredible show.
Wow. Oh, yeah, with Dick Cavett in it. Yeah, it's got to be freaking amazing.
Yeah, Dick Cavett played the narrator, and he was hysterical as a narrator. I mean, he had that audience, just by the balls the whole time. It was great. And then Luke Perry running around in little skivvy underwear all the whole show. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing. So, but it was actually really cool because it was this big, beautiful, it looked like almost like a strip stage. It was very burlesque, but it had all these great hydraulics, and it would flip up and spin. And tubes would come down from the ceiling when it was time for the lab to open up. It was just great. Rocky Horror is an experience that everyone should do once in their life, if it's theatrical or it's a shadow cast. It is the definition of cult, as today Joe was saying. It really is the original cult film, because what Bruce Campbell says about a cult film, what does he say? He says that a major film is a film that every 6,000 one person has seen, or 6,000 people have seen once, but a cult film is one person that's seen it 6,000 times. That's exactly what Rocky Horror is. It's the fans come back over and over and over again. And for a lot of misfits, especially in the 80s when things were really bad in the Bay Area, we had AIDS, we had crack. It was awful in the 80s, especially for young kids, you know, awkward ones, the ones trying to come out of the closet, to a epidemic, ladies and gentlemen. There was, so there was also almost in some ways, Rocky Horror ended up being a safe haven for a lot of us. Because it was a place where we could actually express ourselves. You know, we were stifled at school, even though we were pretty progressive in the Bay Area. But, you know, you still, awkward is awkward, and mean girls are mean girls. It doesn't matter where you live. So,
yeah. Well, Liz, we definitely appreciate you coming on and spending a few moments with us this evening, talking about Rocky Horror Picture Show and all things madness.
All right. Well, enjoy your madness. Oh, how was your Whopper?
Oh, if I could put that in the Hall of Shame, in my Crazy Fatal 2 Hall of Shame, I would. It was disgusting. I might just do that. I've never done that. I mean, I've never done that with a piece of food before, but this might be the first time I've ever done that with food. So that might be it.
You earned that point, and I earned my own 5, so I'm going to put it down that I called in. So other people listening, call in for 5 points. It's really easy to do. You guys have a good evening and enjoy your matches.
You too.
All right. Have a good one, Liz. Talk to you later.
Good night.
All right. That was the head hauntress of the Halloween Horror Movie Marathon Madness Contest. This was the Catherine Gray. She comes and checks in on occasion, and especially this time of year. On this time of year, and she is right about Rocky Horror Picture Show. It has been a safe haven for the outcasts and the misfits, because Riff Raff, the guy who played Riff Raff, he wrote the movie, and I remember in an interview saying, you know, when I was a kid, I was picked on all the time and stuff, and for being who I am, and this was essentially writing the Rocky Horror Picture Show, sort of like the response to that, you know. Look at this. I mean, you have these two upstanding, you know, moral crusading American, you know, Brad and Janet, you know, coming into this, to them, a weird world. It's like a weird awakening for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like coming out and exploring who they actually are, and you know,
and exploring
like,
a lot of other things too.
Yeah, exactly. All right, speaking of exploring right now, here is Brad and Janet, and get your sluts and assholes out and ready to go. This
Yay!
Is Janet.
Hey, Janet.
Yes, Brad.
Sluts?
I've got something to say.
Uh-huh.
I really love the skillful way you beat the other girls to the bride's bouquet.
River was deep, but I swam it.
Janet.
The future but. Is ours, so let's plan it.
Janet.
So please,
but.
Don't tell me to can it.
Janet.
I've one thing to
but.
Say, and that's damn it. Janet, I love you. The road was long, but I ran it.
Janet.
There's a fire
but.
In my heart, and you vanished.
Janet.
If there's one fool
but.
For you, then I am it.
Janet.
I've one thing to but. Say, and that's damn it. Janet, I love you.
Oh, this is nicer than setting little Rohan.
examine. She made me give me the eye and then panic. Now I've one thing to say, and that's damn it, Janet, I love you.
Remember that the wedding scene? You see who was the, you remember who the minister was in that?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Matter of fact, I believe like all the cast were in the wedding, Anna, in that wedding. I mean, see, I saw Tim Curry, like, oh, that's Tim Curry. I didn't know he was.
I think Riff Raff and Magenta were the workers.
Yeah. Yeah. And here is some interesting facts that I found on IMDb about the movie. As I mentioned earlier, the movie first bombed when it opened, but there is a theater in Munchen, Germany, the Museum Mixspiel, that screened the movie every week since June 24th, 1977, offering Rocky Horror Picture Show kits, and they contain the biscuit for the toast, rice, a whistle, candle for when they sing There's a Light, and a paper with instructions for the time warp, which, if you don't know, if you don't know what to do, then you should really listen to the song. I'm not going to go into that again. But yes, it has been running in theater continually since 1975, and in Germany since 1977. Even Lady Di, bloody great Lady Di, loved the movie so much. Even when she met Tim Curry for the first time, she was like, "Oh, I love this movie." You know, much to the chagrin of Prince Charles, much to that chagrin. And the castle, Dr. Fingerfur's castle, was used in numerous Hammer films, like The House in Nightmare Park, The Reptile,
now
The
that
Bride of
I
Dracula.
Knew.
Yeah, that you probably did. You probably did.
I think I read that actually in a book about Hammer horror women.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that until I read up on it. And the speech that was played when Brandon and Janet were driving was Richard Nixon's resignation speech. So, which is kind of odd. So I guess the movie takes place in 1974. Oh well, 1-877-552-4073 is the number to call if you guys want to get in on the conversation tonight. If you're a Madden contestant, it's worth 5 points to you. For international listeners, 323-843-6113, and we would love to hear from you sometime. Oh my goodness, man! Sorry, my cough's been kind of acting up here, so you'll just have to forgive me for that one. So anyway, we're going in. I forgot that Meatloaf was in this movie as mm-hmm. well, the singer.
And I love the inside joke where Frankenfurter's serving Meatloaf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's for dinner? Then Meatloaf pops up. Meatloaf! That didn't happen when I went at the Shadowcast last year. Huh. It kind of died out, like, right after, you know, I hate to say this, but, like, right after they did the Time Warp, it kind of, I don't know if they spent all their energy doing the Time Warp again, or, but, you know, the energy kind of died out in that theater, so I wouldn't mind going to another screen sometime. Maybe it was just there, people were just having an off night, or what the deal was, but geez. All right, so a little bit of what's going on next week here in Dollar Bin Horror Radio. We're going to be broadcasting two episodes of the Canadian Radio Horror series that was on from 1980 to 1983. It was called Nightfall. We'll be playing two episodes of that next week on Dollar Bin Horror Radio. And then the following week will be my big book release party for my debut novel, Primitive Glow. We're going to be talking. We'll be talking a little bit about that. A little bit about that, and you know, this is just kind of having a celebrate, have a big celebration, because it took me 6 years off and on to finally get that damn thing done. And my brain, I mean, seriously, you know, people talk about, you know, the cliche is after people do something artistic, their brain just kind of like peters out. Well, mine definitely did. It doesn't want to see work for a while, but it wasn't. It was a lot of interesting things going on writing the story, because so many things in my life changed between the time I put the first words down and the very first draft until now. So I definitely will share a little bit of that with you. And then on the final Friday of the final Friday, it's the final Thursday of this year, of this month, it's going to be our big Dead Man's Party 2015, where we are going to be doing a lot of wonderful horror based music, a lot of talent music, just having a lot of fun in general. And I say Dead Man's Party, but everybody's invited. So we don't discriminate here on CHR. And that's for darn sure. All right. So, anyway, if you guys want to get in, we're getting ready to wrap this up here in about 8 minutes, 1-877-552-4073. And for our international listeners, 323-843-6113. So, talking about The Madness, what other movies have you had a chance to watch so far in week one?
Sorry. Well, I watched a few episodes of Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. I think it was the Man Eater of Hydra and the House that Screamed. Which I watch like all the time. Actually, I love those episodes. I watched Pitch Black, of course. I had to.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I watched The Mist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why. It was like on a whim. I was like, I really want to see that ending.
Yeah, but man, that just like.
And then
whoa.
Of course I watched a few episodes of Supernatural.
Naturally.
I decided to watch some of my favorite ones from the past. I was like, yes, I need some funny episodes. Have you ever seen the episode where Dean, he had this thing that like infected him and he was scared of everything and like fear could actually kill him.
Mm-hmm.
He was running down the
street
and tripped over like a homeless guy, and he just looked at the homeless guy and says, you hear these like really mean dog sounds when he's running. He trips over the guy and says, run, it'll kill ya. Camera pans down
never...
and, like, fucking 5-pound Yorkie.
Yeah, I've never seen an episode of Supernatural.
So you don't know what the Dean scream is?
No, I don't know what the Dean scream is. Is there anything like the Mark Patton scream from Nightmare on Elm Street 2?
Even better. It's in the same episode where Dean is scared of, well, every fucking thing. And so they're like, and they hear this weird noise in a locker. And so, like, Sam's opening the locker. 1, 2, 3. And a little, like, kitten falls out, and Dean lets out the most female-ic scream you've ever heard.
That's pretty good, Rhonda.
It's known as the, well, his is more like, it's called the Dean Scream. And
the
just,
Dean Scream.
Just YouTube the Dean Scream. It is the
right,
best thing in the world.
I'll definitely take a look at that. My madness has, I've been like all over the place because, as I said before, I'm not in it to win the madness. I'm in it to watch movies and have fun and share the experience. And now Liz did mention a movie earlier called Late Phases, which is a werewolf movie, but it's not really a werewolf movie. I would definitely check that out. It's really good. Well acted. I watched for the very first time Carnival of Souls, which is to me has a very good shot of being in the top 10 in my year-end list. It's that good. Have you seen a Mexican horror movie called The Brainiac by any chance?
Huh?
Have you seen a Mexican horror movie called The Brainiac by any chance?
The Brainiac? No.
Yeah. Okay. You gotta watch that. Yeah, you have to watch it sometime. It's one of those so bad it's good movies. You gotta check that. It is freaking hilarious, unintentionally hilarious. But yeah, that I watched. I revisited Demons again, which is in my top 10 horror movies of all time. I actually bought a demon shirt with a VHS cover on it. That's in the wasteland. I'm actually wearing it right now. And I was like, seeing Greta turn into the demon again. I'm like, oh my God.
Yes.
And I'm thinking to myself, we met her. We met her last year.
I know. Every time I see that movie now, I think, die, Sharpie, die.
Yes, that's awesome. That, I'm trying to remember what else I watched. I watched a really bad movie called Deep in the Darkness, which I don't recommend that to my worst enemy. It's rather
shitty. Is it bad as Crazy Fat F of the Two?
No, it's not that bad. I mean, this one was shot on film. Okay.
I am waiting for a movie to be worse. I'm just waiting for you to say, yes, that is worse.
Mm-hmm. There was another one that was really bad. I can't remember the name of it right now, but it was an automatic triple bonus. It hit because the finale tested one of the triple bonus points is the finale has to take place in like a cave or a sewer. Well, the last few minutes of this movie takes place in a sewer, so it's like, oh my God, automatic triple bonus for this piece of crap, which I cannot remember the name of right now because I don't have the list in front of me. I watched Eraserhead last night. That, for the very first time, that was trippy. Let's just put it that way. Very trippy. I'm just going to leave it at that. And then I followed that up with this real classic horror movie called Splatter University, which I think had a budget of like 3 cents. I was just like, oh my God, I'm not getting bonus points for this. But I kept watching it. And see, the thing with I got this movie off of one of the Roku apps, which is like a free horror movie Roku app. And see, the movie is like 77 minutes long, but they put commercials in it, so it just stretches it out to almost 2 hours of a freaking 77-minute movie. That's not even that good. Oh my God! I love Roku, but some of the channels they have to offer him is like, you are
just
actually
like,
showing
kill
this
me.
Shit. Yes, that's why I'm saying you're showing this shit. Why? But that
you know what
that,
I think I'm going to watch. You know what? You're right. I was trying to like watch theme kind of movies, but for some reason, I'm watching Evil Bong tomorrow.
There you
I don't
go.
Know why.
Yeah.
I just really want to watch that movie again.
I have to watch it sometime too because it's on one of my Roku apps. I can't remember which one it is.
Do they still have on Hulu those 13 episodes of Elvira doing the Charles Band movies?
They still have. Yes, they still have.
If you're
going to
watch
Hulu.
Evil Bong, make it 10 times awesomer by watching Elvira host Evil Bong.
All right, I will definitely.
Plus,
I will definitely
point
check
for
that
Elvira.
Out.
Boom.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll definitely check that out. Oh, one more thing. I did see the Case of Androzzi Doctor Who storyline when the fifth Doctor became the sixth Doctor. That's probably my highlight of the madness so far was that pretty awesome storyline. So, all right, well, that's going to wrap it up for this week's edition of Darbin Horror Radio. I want to thank Dina Bina and Mrs. Elizabeth Catherine Gray for calling in and giving us their takes on the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and thanks for listening out there, everybody. We'll be back next week with 2 episodes of Nightfall, and we look forward to seeing you then. But until next Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, this is Eric Polk saying to all of Reapley Nation, good night now.
Like we